And Something Wicked Radio presents Dwight Slade, Season 20, Episode 4.
And you're listening to Something Wicked Radio.
I'm from Portland, Oregon. Good, got a ride home, excellent. I was in Texas, this lady comes up, she goes, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Portland, Oregon." She goes, "My friend Barry lives in Seattle." Oh. Well, that's a different place. Are you new to conversations? This one's over. I live in a bit of a rough neighborhood in Portland. Even the milk comes in a 40 ounce. It's not a good neighborhood. It's kind of scary, but it's still Portland, Oregon. You know, like there was a drive-by shooting in my neighborhood a month ago. But it was in a Prius, so I... Does that even count? I love traveling. I was in New Orleans. Flew into the Louis Armstrong International Airport. I think that's cool they named the airport after that guy. I wonder if they'll do that in the future with other musicians. You'd be flying along in 50 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to land at Snoop Dogg International Airport. Please put your weapons in the overhead compartment. We apologize for being diverted from the Miley Cyrus International Airport due to consistently mediocre performances. Many of you wonder why we're circling the Grateful Dead International Airport for 7.5 hours. That's when we realize it's not about the destination, it's about the journey, man.
Saw my dad, he turned 75, very proud of him. You can tell my dad is now in his 70s because he yawns and talks at the same time. Drives me nuts. He'll be chatting along. We took the car down the 6th Street, on down the he said it was fine. What the heck are you talking about? Well, I said to go. That's Scooby-Doo for a dad. You know, my brother got my dad for his 75th birthday? A laptop. Yeah, my dad can't work a locking gas cap. Now he's on Facebook 24 hours a day. My dad calls me every morning, 7:30 in the morning. Did you check your email? No, Dad, I'm asleep. Check your email.
Why?
We sent an email. Dad, you don't have to call and verify the email. You're creating twice the technological work for yourself.
You just check that email.
Like, check it. What does it say?
Call me when you get this.
Hi, Dwight.
Hello.
Hi, this is Julia Hollingsworth calling from Something Wicked Radio. How are you today?
Doing great.
Good. Sorry I got mixed up on the time. I think you wrote my time instead of mountain time, and I thought you were joking, so I didn't clarify it quick enough yesterday, and I apologize for being late today.
That's all right. That's all right. It's the autocorrect, and I never edit my stuff like as much as I should. So anyway.
We are here. That's good. Okay, well, let me start off with some questions. I guess to explain to my audience that you're a comedian, that you've been a comedian for years and years, and how old were you when you first started comedy?
My first open mic was at the dawn of the crustacean period. Now, I started out in 1977 was my first open mic. So do the math and you'll see the guy is ridiculously old.
So let's see, carry the one and subtract it. Okay. And I learned that you were friends with Bill Hicks and the late comedian and Kevin Booth, who was on the show the other day. Tell me some of your adventures with them.
Well, just my dad moved, my family moved, not just my dad, but my family moved to Houston, Texas during the sort of oil boom when all the oil companies convalesced around Houston. And so you had these suburbs full of kind of upper middle class families. And I think out of that, you got this sort of unusual state of affairs, which is the entire suburbs were full of new people, and there was no past that sort of had to define who you were. So people like Kevin Booth and Bill Hicks and myself, we all kind of gravitated toward each other and had this cynical kind of sense of humor about the suburbs where we lived. And that's why I think it had quite a bit of creativity during that period of time. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that's sort of how I think it all started.
Oh, okay. And what's some adventure that you went on that maybe you got caught sneaking out or?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, we were 15 years old, and we looked in the paper and we saw that there was a comedy improv club opening up in Houston. This is 1977, and it was sort of what Bill and I had dreamt about. We wanted to be a comedy team, so we asked our parents if we could go down, and they said, of course not. It's an adult nightclub. You're not going down there. And so we just planned to do it on our own, and we snuck out of our houses. We met with a guy who had a car, and we drove down. It was very clandestine to do an open mic, but it was a big deal for us.
I think I used to do stand-up on that stage down in Houston.
Yeah.
That was good times, wasn't it?
It was. Well, for 15-year-olds, it was a real eye-opener. No one ever checked our IDs. This is back when Houston, the drinking age in Texas, was 18. And so Bill and I looked old enough to, we were offered drinks at age 15. Just ridiculous.
Good times. What kind of things make you happy?
What kind of things make me happy? I am my cat, my dog, my wife. I shouldn't be in that order, should it? I should have switched those around.
Are you a happy man?
I battle between cynicism and depression, but in general, I'm learning this year to be more grateful. I've heard that term, like people have gratitude journals. Have you heard of those?
Yes.
And I used to be very cynical about that because it's like, I'll tell you what I have to be gratified about. Nothing, all right? The world is coming to an end. People are idiots. But then I realized that you have to do, your gratitude is on your own terms, not other people's terms. So I was trying to look for gratitude in other people's worlds and their expectations. So it's taken me a long time to go, no, I get grateful because I like to, you fly through Phoenix on an airplane and you get out and you see a cactus. I'm very grateful for the cactus. I didn't expect to see one.
Despite the fact that you're in Phoenix?
Right. Right. Well, sometimes, the obvious things.
Well, I lived in Houston. I lived in Phoenix, so I know. How much of your stand-up comes from real life?
That's a good question because I really admire people who are able to use their own lives as sort of a canvas. I really don't think I draw too much from my own life. I kind of separate those two, and it's something I probably need to work on. But I derive mostly my stand-up from being sort of a juvenile delinquent. That's what I feel like I'm stuck as.
Oh, yeah. I feel you. Still back in Houston, are you on school night? And it's a. What's the funniest joke you've ever written?
What is the funniest joke I've ever written? I think that that's an odd one because most of the time, favorite bits are not the favorites of audiences. So I think I do one bit about how you have to be careful about how you die because you don't want to die and have people talk about you and how you died at the funeral. You don't want two old ladies in the back, your aunts, talking to each other going, did you hear how he passed away? Well, I guess he was in the bathroom and he had eaten a bag of kettle corn. And he was straining, and I guess his heart gave out, and he pitched forward into the tub, nude. And I guess he was like that for a couple of days. And I heard that some raccoons got in there and made a nest in his ass.
Ouch.
So, as you can see, that one's a little darker, but I count it
it's
as
clever
okay.
and dark. So what's the funniest joke you've ever heard?
Funniest joke I've ever heard? I think I really admire comics that can get a punchline in the least amount of words. I'm always, and I think that Bill Hicks had one like that where he said, people in my neighborhood come up to me, kids would come up to me and go, my dad can beat up your dad. And I would say, yeah, when? And I really enjoy that one word punchline is very funny.
Yeah.
It gets the job done.
It's always classic.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you live these days?
Well, I just recently moved in the last year from Portland, where I'd lived for 20-some years, and I moved to Boise, Idaho. Part of my descending the showbiz ladder strategy. Maybe next year, Salt Lake City. I don't know.
Yeah, so definitely different than Portland, that's for sure.
Yeah, it had a really strong, vibrant comedy scene here in Boise. My wife got a lot of opportunity here, so we decided I needed a change. So it's been great.
So when's the first time, you liked the first time?
When was the first time that I liked the first time?
No, when was the first time, you liked, the first time?
Oh, well, funny you should bring that up. I have a little mantle and an altar to that time. Let's see. I was an older fella. I was 20, 21. Is that good?
That's good. I was wondering if you even knew the first time for what, but that's okay. You answered the question. It was a trick question. So what have you learned about the comedy industry?
I've learned not a lot of gratitude going back to my first one. I've learned that it's sort of an upside-down world, that the things that are normal in normal business get flipped upside down in the comedy business. And so a lot of the things you feel like maybe you should be rewarded wind up not, and vice versa. Some of the things that you didn't expect to be have acceptance or to achieve, you have it flipped around.
Wow, what have you learned about yourself?
I've learned that I have to, I've learned a lot about myself, mostly by looking in the mirror. What I've learned is I have to service that creativity monster inside of me, that I have to take time to write. I have to take time to maybe write stuff that's shit and then be patient and find out that you've got something else that you didn't expect. And so I think a while ago I read that book by Julia Cameron, The Artist's Way. Have you heard of that?
I have now.
Yeah, it's a 12-chapter, 12-week book you can read. It's made for creative people. It basically takes you through a lot of steps that it can get you out of writer's block, and but also just sort of answer some questions about what it's like to be a creative person. Anyway, after reading that book, I learned about myself a lot about accepting myself as an artist, and you don't have to be ashamed of it, and you can be proud of it and work hard at it. You can be a nerd and you can be creative. So,
what's the worst gig you've ever done?
The worst gig I've ever done. Good question. Some of the gigs I've done have been kind of, they've been awful but hilarious. There's other gigs that I've done that have been truly awful, that have been, I did a banquet for about 400 people, and I told a joke, and it was a little edgy, and somebody absolutely lost their mind and made a lot of trouble for me. And anyway, it was just one of those situations. It happened 2 or 3 years ago, and if it happened now, no one would say anything, because I think in the news now, comics getting rattled for what their opinion is is finally kind of going away, and people are finally understanding, hey, you don't have to be an ass to get the joke.
That's interesting. What's your family like?
Growing up, I had three older brothers, so I spent basically the entire time being punched and spit on. No, my brothers were very funny, and so as a since I was the youngest in the family, I did a lot of observing and picked up on a lot of my brothers' cynicism and their sarcasm, and they were just very funny. And my cousins also, I had cousins that were just hysterical. They were just really funny people. And in my family, your sense of humor was really valued. You were always, you had to be clever. And the more clever you were, everyone appreciated it more. So I was very lucky with regard to that.
What a neat way to grow up.
Yeah, yeah. Damaged and dysfunctional.
You put the fun in it.
Absolutely.
So where do you stand on the marijuana issue?
Well, I lived in Oregon for many years, so I love the fact the entire West Coast is completely green. And so I think that as adults, we can make decisions about what we do with our bodies. You don't get to be 30, 40, 50 years old without realizing that you're going to hurt yourself if you abuse alcohol and drugs. And some people don't get that message. Other people do. I'm really proud of the fact that people can make their own decisions about their own bodies now. That's very encouraging.
Very different, very refreshing.
And are you in the Denver area?
I'm in Durango, which is southwest by the Four Corners.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
What kind of music do you like?
I like a lot of different music. I'm really starting to get back into like old school hip hop. I found it's great.
What song do you want me to start the show with?
Well, legendary Hypnotized by Biggie.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll go look it up. Now, for the last four questions I have, it's kind of a lightning round, so this is going to be our new regular spots on the show. Question number one, what flower is your favorite flower?
Daffodil.
Daffodil. Okay, number two, you got a TV show. What does your TV show do?
My TV show reinvents an alien encounter.
Nice. Okay, question number three, what are you wearing?
Nothing.
Good answer, good answer. Question number four, make the most irritating noise you can.
I was trying to do a Trump impression. Someone should call a paramedic.
We need to now, huh? Is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, how much stand up do you do now that you've done a few?
I haven't done stand up in years. I do the radio show now, but I used to do stand up at the comedy store, and then they shoplift my jokes, and I saw them at Evening at the Improv later. It was great.
Cool.
Yeah, it's been a long time. But I did it at the Houston show, and I think up in like the Willowbrook area. Or I don't remember. Is that the right
name? Who are your favorite comics?
Bill and you. That's why I'm so glad to have you on the show. I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, well, thank you. It's always great to talk to the brethren.
Yes, yes. So I guess I'll ask you what you got coming up next.
Well, I've been doing a lot of these cruise ships, which a lot of comics are doing, and so they take up about half my schedule. But I'm going to Wisconsin to do a couple of dates in mid-Wisconsin over Halloween. So like November 1st and 2nd, I'll be doing some shows up there.
Is that a Freudian slip when you said Halloween instead of Valentine's Day?
Take it as you wish.
Take it as I wish. Well, thank you so much, Dwight, for coming on. Do you want to do any of your stand-up before we go?
You can play whatever you want, what's ever available out there.
Sounds good. I'll do that. I'll just find the one that's on your page. If I can find it on YouTube, we'll be set like jet.
Yeah, I got a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Dwight Slade, and then I'm on social media, so easy ways to find it.
I'll look for it. Well, I really appreciate it. Like I said, I hope that you have a good day and a good trip on your next cruise ship.
Well, thank you, Julie. It was great hanging out with you.
Awesome. Well, before you go, can you do one last thing and say that you're Dwight Slade and that you listen to Something Wicked Radio?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm Dwight Slade, and you're listening to Something Wicked Radio.
And you're listening to Something Wicked Radio.
I'm always making an idiot of myself. A spider in my bathroom the other day about had a stroke. You ever kill a spider and then you can't find the body? There's 2 hours of paranoia. I'll hunt for that thing like it's forensic files. Where's the body? It's dead, Dwight. No, it's not. It's got two legs and it's pissed. I gotta find it. It's an amputee. It's upset. Oh. I hate bugs. I got a bug in my mouth once. A gnat went right in the back of my throat when I was yawning. I'm trying to maintain your composure when that happens. Explain that to people 30 yards away. Don't stare at him, Johnny. Don't look at that man. This is why we say no to drugs. You understand me now? He's got something in his throat. He's disturbed. We don't stare. Oh. I hate bugs. I do like bugs that scurry, that run for their lives. It makes you feel good about your species. Top of the food chain. You better run. I love that. You walk in the kitchen, hit the light, bugs are like, people are here, people. Oh my God, sorry, you're beautiful, sorry. Your food is delicious, we're vermin, we apologize. We'll get the recipe, we've overstayed. It's those little bugs that have confidence that I don't like. I'm gonna step on my little critter right over. Whoa, jeez, he jumped at me! Open the door, he's under the stove. And I'll keep seeing it through the corner of my eye. It's over there! Oh, no, that's a Lego. It's been 2 years. I think it's dead. Little bugs like that have what I refer to as species amnesia. A lot of animals on our planet have species amnesia. They don't understand what they are. Vin Diesel is an example of species amnesia. Chihuahua, obvious example of species amnesia. Chihuahuas have no idea they're a tiny dog that looks like a roasted chicken. None. It's such a balanced animal. I try to pet a chihuahua. Hey, who's this little guy? Okay, sorry. I didn't know your dog had a car alarm on it. I do like it, though, when those little dogs lock up in their own anger. You ever seen that? They'll never bite you. They just come paralyzed in their own rage. Ah! What's your problem, princess? Ah! You're not gonna bite me. Ah! I'd like to make that noise in my life. Get into a bar fight. Some guy's in my face. Hey, buddy, were you looking at my girlfriend? Ah! It's okay, dude. Ah! Ah! Please don't make... Ah! Your friends are dragging you out of there.
He's crazy, man. He's crazy. Someone throw him a begging strip. That's B-E-G-G-I-N apostrophe.
It's a great sound to make, though. Do it sometime at the grocery store. Someone bumps you with their cart. I'm sorry, sir. Ah! What the heck's going on over there? Ah! Get security.
Subscribe to Dry Bar Comedy for even more of the world's largest collection of clean comedy.
Hotels.
Under strike, waiter.
Time on target, 60 seconds.
Ah, dang.
Okay, I don't
care. Oh, no, 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 no. I kill,
never lose, never choose to lose, lose who? Do something to us, talk to us. Girls want to us, wanna do us, screw us, screw us. Yeah, Papa and Pump, close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3, bang every MC
take that.
Easily.
Take that.
Easily. I got that formation. Ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace.
Come
keep
on,
my peace, Cubans with the Jesus peace.
Thank
with
you.
My peace. Asking who want it, you got it, nigga flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so fake. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so fake.
I raised you 200,000.
Damn.
I'm trying to get my train going, man.
Oh, shit!
Wait! What do you mean?
I put Cozy NY on the DKNY. Miami, D.C., prefer Versace. All three shows, double Moschino. Every tutie with the booty for the Gucci. Now who the real
them niggas ride dicks. Frank White push the six on the back. 4.5 bulletproof glass tints. If I want some ass, gon' blast, squeeze first, ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters pass. At last, a nigga rapping about blunts and bras, menage a trois, sex and expensive cars. I still need you on the table. Condo paid for, no car payment. No for the cleaning. Face it, not guilty. That's how I stay still. Richer than rich. So you niggas come to get
me. Biggie, Biggie, can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me.
I fill you with real millionaire shit.
Yeah.
Escargo, my cargo, 160, swiftly. Wreck it by your crew, run, 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 your crew, run, run. I know you sick of this lame brand, nigga with flows, girl, say he sweet like licorice. So get with this, nigga, it's easy. Girlfriend, here's a bitch. Homie round 10, come through, have sex on rough, that's Persian. Come up to your job, hit you while you're working, for certain. Papa freaking, not speaking, leave the ass leaking like rapper demo. Tell them who, take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Kobe, dick black like Kobe. Watch me roam like Romy. Lucky they don't owe me, where to say show me, homie.
Biggie, Biggie, can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just
hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so mean. Can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they broke.
We lost them! They just disappeared!
I'm Dwight Slade, and you're listening to Something Wicked Radio.